Your reading this morning will be from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
I too thought it had just been a couple of years or so since I had last preached on the subject of attendance. And this is, again, one of those maintenance sermons. I've made an intentional effort to try to include a number of those subjects that are so fundamental to who we are and what we are doing. But often get overlooked or just assumed that we understand and appreciate the matter, and then we usually don't bring it up until there's a problem. The question is often, or the idea, the subject is often framed in this way. Someone will ask the question, is it necessary to attend every assembly? And without impugning the motives of anyone asking that question, there are various reasons why someone might ask that. You might be looking for justification to do something else at that particular time or that particular day. Or a person might just have a serious question and wonder. And so I've tried to come at this lesson from that perspective. If you're a note taker and you keep your notes back that long, then you may have very similar notes to what I say today, although it has changed some. I want to approach this from a very practical perspective and try to help us understand why I answer this question in the way that I answer it. Is it necessary for me to attend every assembly? My unequivocal answer to that question, and I believe a biblical one, is yes, it is necessary to attend every assembly. And this is why I say that. Regardless of the reason that might prevent me from attending, if I do not attend the assembly, then there is some failure, some degree of failure. Just think about it from a maintenance perspective for a moment. Is it necessary for you to make every checkup appointment for your vehicle? You might say no, and you might drive the car for 100,000 miles and never have any trouble out of it. But there may be something wrong with your car at the time that scheduled maintenance is planned. And if you don't do the scheduled maintenance, it may not be picked up on. And then the problem will manifest itself later to a much larger degree. It's like the sign in the mechanic's window that said, pay me now or pay me later. He knows you'll be back if you don't do the work that he is recommending that you do. Think about a medical checkup. You may go to a doctor regularly for a checkup in a preventative manner. You may say, well, I don't need to go to the doctor. Well, the situation might be worse for me or for you if we don't get the regular maintenance, the regular checkup that we need. So you can say, no, it's not necessary to go to the doctor regularly. No, it's not necessary to do maintenance on my vehicle regularly. But if we don't, some degree of failure is taking place, whether it be a failure to pick up on something that is wrong with the car, or whether it's failure to pick up on something about my health that is not what it should be, that might even cost me my life later. This morning, as we think about attendance to the services of the church and our being part of every assembly that is planned or scheduled, I want to give four reasons why it's necessary for you and for me to be here on those occasions. Here's the first one. It is necessary for me to attend every assembly in order for it to accomplish the purpose of that assembly. There is a purpose for every assembly. We don't just come together just for the sake of coming together. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for our Sunday morning Bible class at 9:30. There is thought that has gone into subjects that need to be taught in our various classes because they are subjects from the Bible that you and I need to know and we need to understand and appreciate for our daily lives. So that Bible class that quite often is forsaken and just across the board. I mean, you look at religious groups, just go outside the scope of Churches of Christ, even for a moment, and see the tendency for people to not take advantage of or partake in certain assemblies, whether it be a Bible class or something of that nature. Well, great thought has gone into why we are coming together for those Bible classes. What we're doing right now in our morning worship hour, this worship period, there's a purpose for it. We have come together for a specific purpose. Tonight, we'll come together again at 6 p.m., and that's for a specific purpose that we come together. It's not just for the sake of coming together. Wednesday night, we have a midweek Bible class at 7 o'clock. There is a purpose for that, much like the a.m. Bible class on Sunday morning. There is subject matter that is being studied and considered that is beneficial to you and to me. And here's the kicker about it. I may not even realize at the moment how beneficial that particular study is for me. It's kind of like the preventative maintenance. It may come later in my life when I realize I'm glad I was a part of that. I'm glad that I took part in that Bible study because now I see the benefit of it. Maybe it's a gospel meeting. People often think, well, do I have to attend the gospel meetings? I'm telling us that it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary in order for that assembly, that event to accomplish its purpose in my life and for me. Now, let's think about worship for a moment. Jesus said that God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He says there that the Father is seeking such to worship him. God expects, he desires our worship. And so our assembly has as that purpose to come together and to offer our worship to God. You might not think about it that way. You might not have come to the point in your understanding, maybe you've just never been challenged to think about it from that perspective, that we come here to do something that we're expected to do. And not because mom and dad expect me to be here, or not because my husband or my wife expect me to be here, or not because some men in the congregation who have their eye out for me expect me to be there, but because God expects us to be here. We're here primarily because that's what God has commanded us to do. We can worship in ignorance, kind of like those Paul encountered in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, where he said to those in Athens, "As I passed by, I beheld your devotions and the objects of your worships, and I found among them an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" And he says, "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I declare to you." This morning, I may be suggesting something that you've not thought about. That when you're not here for worship, someone takes note that you're not here. Well, I know the preacher sees everybody that's out there. He takes note. I know, you know, the people who normally sit by me, they take note. Well, that's all true, but what about God? He's commanded us to worship him, and he's expecting us to be here on those occasions of worship. The psalmist said in Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." There are things that are due God. One of those things is the worship that we give to him on the Lord's day. And he's expecting that from us. But not only that, every sermon, every Bible class lesson, you might say, is a spiritual vitamin of sorts. There is some spiritual ingredient in it that is intended for our betterment, for our good, to make us stronger, to make us more faithful, to help us understand and appreciate why we are really here in this world, what life is all about. I try to plan sermons from that perspective. When we think about what curriculum or what lessons we're going to teach in our classes, we think about it from that perspective. Every lesson, every sermon is a spiritual vitamin. Every song that we sing, every prayer that is uttered, every act of worship that we engage in, the Lord's Supper as well, our offering, all of it is intentional and purposeful. Every bit of it has benefit that I draw from being a part of it. We benefit from the lessons, hopefully. We benefit from the prayers. We benefit from partaking of these emblems in the Lord's Supper because they remind us of the sacrifice that was made for us. We benefit in giving. I love the way that Sean transitioned from the Lord's Supper to offering this morning, focusing on the similarity of sacrifice between the two. Very, very well thought out and worded to help us appreciate the nature of these acts of our worship. It's all essential. It's all important. It's all purposeful. It all serves us in various ways. We come together as a group of people, not individuals, purposefully as well. God didn't say on the Lord's Day, everybody go to their private place and worship. We come together as a group of God's people in this place to worship because it is intended and expected that we're going to encourage one another. It is intended and expected that we're going to exhort each other. It's intended. It's expected that we're going to educate one another. You say, well, yeah, the preacher does that when he preaches, or the teacher does that when he teaches. Brethren, you do that when you sing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We're teaching one another even when we sing the songs that we sing. Is it necessary to attend every assembly? Well, in the first place, it's necessary in order for it to accomplish the purpose of that assembly, that we can worship God as we have been commanded to do, that we can encourage and exhort one another, that we can take the spiritual vitamins that we so desperately need to live this life. In the second place, in answering the question, is it necessary for me to attend every assembly? I say yes. It is necessary to effect biblical shepherding. Jesus, the chief shepherd, said on a couple of occasions, John chapter 10 verse 14 and John chapter 10 verse 27, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." And then in verse 27 he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But subordinate to the chief shepherd are the shepherds of the local congregations that Christians are members of. We associate ourselves, we identify with local bodies of Christians and churches of Christ because those local bodies are shepherded by God's design by men who are elders. They're shepherds. They are the ones who ultimately watch out for the sheep in that fold. And that's a daunting task. When you just take a moment and you watch what these men, in our particular case, Cletus and Troy, what they are tasked to do as elders of this congregation. They are shepherding the sheep of Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. And people aren't like sheep. I mean, we get that, right? Sheep don't have jobs. Sheep don't have their own homes. Sheep don't live, 30 minutes from the assembly place. But we all do. A shepherd can gather the sheep up and fence them in, or get them in a valley area where it's difficult for them to wander off, and he can shepherd those sheep, but people are much different. We come here on Sunday, hopefully. We're coming here regularly on Sunday, but then we leave for the majority of the week. Hopefully we're coming back on Wednesday for Bible class, and that point in the middle of the week where we stay connected and draw more spiritual energy. But we're gone away from the shepherds physically most of the time. What a daunting task they have beyond what a shepherd of animals' responsibility would look like. These men are charged to feed the sheep. Now that they don't have to put physical food on all our tables. I'm sure they're glad they don't have to do that. But they feed us spiritually and they watch out for our well-being. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30 records these words where Paul, speaking to the elders at Ephesus, said, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd or to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." They have to provide for us a spiritual diet. But how do they do that on an individual basis if they don't see us with some regularity? Well, you could say, well, they could come to us. Listen, there are, I think, somewhere near 75 family units in this congregation. And there are 52 weeks in a year. In a year's time, they don't have enough time to give that kind of individual attention to all of us. And the larger the congregation gets, even the challenge is even greater. How do you and I help them affect biblical shepherding? Well, we make sure we're in the assemblies and that we're taking part in those occasions where they have called us together. Whether that be the worship assembly that's commanded and prescribed on the Lord's Day, or the various Bible classes and the gospel meetings and things of that nature that they prescribe with the authority that they have to prescribe it for our good, for our benefit, and for our edification. They have a spiritual diet to feed us, and it is incumbent upon you and me to make it as easy as possible for them to feed us that diet. They'll be held accountable. And you could say, well, that's their responsibility to make sure that I'm fed. Well, it's your responsibility too. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the Hebrews writer said, "Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give an account, that they may let them do it with joy and not with grief." Listen, for that would be unprofitable for you. I could get frustrated by the fact that they are pressuring me to attend every assembly that's scheduled. And I could try to thwart that effort to feed me spiritually. Yeah, they're accountable for my soul, but so am I. Because here the Hebrews writer says, if I make that difficult for them and a burden, then that would be unprofitable for me. It'd be unprofitable for them if they didn't do their job, but it will be unprofitable for me if I make it difficult for them to be the kind of shepherds that God is expecting them to do. Is it necessary for me to attend every assembly? Yes, it's absolutely necessary in order to effect biblical shepherding, to give them the opportunity to put them into the place of looking out for my soul as God is expecting them to do. But you know, when there are assemblies such as this, or a Bible class, or whatever it is, that you and I don't attend, then that help is uselessly expended on me. Is it necessary? Yes, in order to effect biblical shepherding. Number three, another reason why it's necessary for me to attend every assembly is this: in order to demonstrate my devotion and commitment to God. To God, ultimately. You know, I may say to you, or you may say to me, we missed you Sunday. And that's well and good, and that has a lot of merit and meaning to it. But even greater than that is this: God missed you Sunday. God missed you Wednesday. God missed you on those occasions that were put forth for you to not only feed your soul, but to demonstrate your devotion to Him. In John chapter 4, again, verses 23 and 24, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." If that's what God is expecting of me, then I owe Him to demonstrate my devotion to Him. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You will struggle. You can read all the books in the world. You can look at all of the military battles and conflicts that have taken place in the world where heroism has been demonstrated to its extent. And you will struggle and fail to find a demonstration of devotion greater than what God has done for you. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you'll not match the devotion represented in that sacrifice. But we are in turn to demonstrate our devotion to Him. Think about people in your life who have done things for you that have been helpful, that have been life-saving perhaps, and the feeling of oughtness that you have to show devotion to them and to show appreciation. Can it get any greater than what God has done? Can the need for devotion be any greater than the need that we have to show our devotion to God? I just can't see how it could be. And that's why Paul says, now that I'm a Christian, I'm still living, but the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've crucified myself so that I might live for God. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah, but they got a fishing tournament this weekend. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah, I just don't, I'm not at the top of my game today. I don't feel like going. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That verse is in the very context of people who were concerned about their material well-being. And Jesus says, in essence, have you even stopped long enough to think about the birds of the air? They don't worry about things like you worry about them. Have you even taken notice of the flowers of the field? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it's necessary in order to demonstrate my commitment to God. It's necessary for me to attend every assembly so that I can demonstrate my devotion and commitment to my brethren. Did you listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 just a moment ago? Listen again. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This passage is about the need and the duty of Christians to exhort and encourage one another in the assembly of the saints. Let us consider one another to love, to provoke unto good works. I want to come to this place on the prescribed dates and times to accomplish that purpose, to encourage you, to exhort you. You know, I've heard people say before, I wasn't coming. I didn't feel like coming to services. But I came anyway, and I'm so glad I did. And I think in my mind, I'm so glad you did just because of what you just said. The fact that you mustered the strength and the determination and devotion to God to come, that helped me. And so in ways that we often don't even realize, we are helping our brethren. I think of something Jonathan said to David. It's recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 18. He said, tomorrow is a new moon and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. We typically, you know, it's not a requirement. It's probably not always a good thing either, but we typically sit in the same general areas when we come together. And we notice when other people are missing. We notice when seats are empty. We come together to demonstrate our devotion not only to God, but to one another. But here's a third. When you think about demonstrating our devotion, it's necessary for me to attend every assembly to demonstrate my devotion to the world. You know, I don't want to be in Walmart at 10:30 on Sunday morning. People may not know me. They may not know that I preach for the Roanoke Church of Christ. They may not know that I have an obligation to be here and that I ought to be here. They may not know all of that. But my presence there suggests that nothing else is going on. You know, what if nobody showed up at places of business on Sunday morning during the regular worship hours because they were demonstrating their devotion to God and to their brethren, what would happen with those businesses? It might change some practices in society. You and I come here on Sunday, yes, to demonstrate our devotion to God, yes, to demonstrate our devotion to one another, but people pass by this building, whether walking, I see them sometimes just walking right in front of these doors or passing by in cars, and they see all of these cars lined up. Sometimes even in places where there are no parking spaces. That speaks volumes about devotion, about a compulsion to be in a place for a purpose. But if you and I choose recreational activities and things of that nature during those prescribed times, we're speaking volumes there too. We may not realize it, but we are. Is it necessary to attend every assembly? Yes. To demonstrate my devotion and commitment, as we have described here. And then fourthly and finally, is it necessary to attend every assembly? Yes. To correct any beneath the surface problems that I might be experiencing. It's necessary. Sometimes the question is framed this way. Will I go to hell if I miss Wednesday night? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong way to ask the question. Here are the right questions. Will I go to heaven if I do not participate in the purposes of the services of the Lord's church? Can I withdraw from the purposes that we have described and dismiss myself from those things and still expect to go to heaven? Here's another right question. Will I go to heaven if I hinder biblical shepherding? That's the right question. If I make it difficult and if I don't subscribe to the methods that the elders put in place to feed my soul, will God look favorably on that, brethren? I don't see how he would. And then thirdly, will I go to heaven if I'm not committed to God? If there are things that happen regularly in my life that draw me away from my obligation here, and that doesn't cause me grief, that's a problem. And so regular commitment to the assembly of the saints will help me identify problems under the hood that are going unchecked, that are going to cause serious problems for me. Don't ask the question, will I be condemned if I miss a service? Don't ask that question. That's not the right question. The right question is, can I gain God's approval and go to heaven if I do not accomplish the purposes of the assembly? If I hinder my elders from shepherding my soul, and if I am not really committed to God? Those are good, helpful questions when we think about the necessity of attendance. There used to be a time when Christians longed to assemble, when the mindset was like that of David. I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. But for me, I'm just saying for me, and you do your own evaluation this morning, it would be a shame for me not to want to assemble with the saints regularly because of all of the purposes and all of the benefits that go along with it. You and I need to realize, one, it as a necessity because of the benefits of coming together, but also realize the obligation and who's expecting us to be here. Yeah, the elders are. Yeah, the preacher is looking out in the assembly to see who's here. Yes, the people who are sitting around me are concerned about my attendance, but ultimately the God of heaven, who desires this time with us so that he can speak into our hearts from his word and make us and mold us into the people that he wants to be. When it comes to the necessity of assembling with the saints, we need to ask the right questions. And that will help us understand just how essential it is for us to be here. This morning, as we bring this service to a close, we recognize that we have visitors among us. We have those who perhaps are not familiar with the Church of Christ, maybe wondering or questioning some things that you have heard here in Bible classes or lessons. We want you to be clear about what you're hearing, and we want you to see in the Bible why we say and why we do what we do. And my encouragement to you this morning is, if you have questions, if you want to know more, speak up and let us know. And we'd be happy to sit down and study with you and help you in any way that we can. There may be those here this morning who recognize and understand what God expects of them, that they need to obey the gospel through faith, repentance of sin, confession of their faith with their mouths, and baptism in water to have their sins washed away. That may be your need and your desire this morning. Maybe you're here as a child of God who has neglected the assembly of the saints for all of the reasons that we prescribed or described this morning, and you understand the waywardness of your actions. Why not use this morning as an opportunity to change that and correct it and make things right and do things right going forward? A song has been selected to encourage us as we meditate and think about ourselves in relation to the things that we've considered this morning. If you have a need that we can help you with, we hope you'll come as we stand and sing.